You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. Thank you. Good to be here. When I went up to Cherith to share what I was going to share during the worship, and then this song came on, it actually was, God was doing it already, and it was just, I just want to share this, that sometimes, do you feel like, we start off with being God so holy, yeah? He is a holy God. And you know, if you went to the king now, if you went to our king, or any royalty, you can't touch them. You know that? The protocol is you cannot touch our king. You cannot go forward into his presence. You can't even go into his presence unless, in a sense, he comes to yours. And I thought, that's so wrong. But our king, not only can, yes, he's a holy God. He's way more holy. He's way more untouchable in one sense. And yet, he said, come to my throne room. But then let's have a party together. Come on, you can touch, you can sit on my lap, we can talk, we can chill, we can have time together. That's our king. That's what God's all about. It's about being in his presence and not just looking through the door and thinking, I can't go in. Because he's holy. Jesus has made us holy so that we can go in. Amen. Love it. Love it. So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Tony. I'm one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church in Hereford, and I'm part of the eldership team. And we're going to continue to look at our series on healthy spiritual living and how we as Christians can live spiritually healthy lives. Okay? And I'm going to be looking at this in the way we can be a healthy church by the way we serve. Okay? So put on the next slide, I think. Next slide. Yeah, the way we serve. Okay? And the way we serve one another. At the start of this meeting, before when we were praying, and Cherith again mentioned it a little bit, Mike prayed. No, somebody, I can't remember who it was now. Somebody prayed. And they said, we're not here to hear and not have a nice service. We're not here to listen to a nice preach, which is just as well, because I'm not going to give you one. But we're here to be transformed. We're here to have transformed lives. We're here for God to come and do something in our lives. And he may have already done something with you this morning through the worship. But I want him to do something through the word as well, through what I'm going to share. I just want to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that you care so much about each one of us that you're not prepared to leave us where we are, but you want to continually transform us into the people you want us to be. And so, Lord, as we listen and as we share and as we look at your word together, Father, will you open our hearts and will you put in what needs to be put in order to transform our lives so we walk out of here different, that we walk out of here knowing you more, and knowing ourselves more, and knowing our purpose more. Father, thank you for your love for each one of us here this morning. Amen. So I want to start with a question, which I'm going to come back to the answer at the end of the talk. How many muscles does it take you to smile? Okay, have a little think, just a little muse on that one. So I'm going to come back to that at the very end. Okay? But my next question is perhaps a more important question. Why are we here? Why are we here now in this church? Well, Jesus made it very clear that one of the reasons we are here and we are part of this community, this church, is because we're here to serve one another. Okay, that is part of our purpose of being here, is to show the world what it means to really serve one another. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Among us, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus was the epitome of what it meant to be a servant. And I shared on that a while ago about being a servant leader. But he makes it very clear that as his disciples, we are called to serve. That is one of our major callings as a Christian. Peter, in one of his letters, also says something similar. He says, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." Use them well. How? To serve one another. That is the purpose, which we'll look at in a little while. So, in a way, the hard bit is, if you're sat here this morning thinking, you know, I'm here because I'm in church, I'm part of a church because of what the church will do for me. I'm here to for my benefit. Then I'm afraid you're actually mistaken. You're not here for your benefit, you're here for everyone else's benefit. But in being here for everyone else's benefit, funnily enough, somebody's here to serve you as well. Yeah? It's an arrangement where as we serve others, others serve us. But we don't serve so that we get something as a result. We serve because we love God. And that's our calling. But I'll come back to that in a little bit. You see, the world is all about me. The world is all about, well, if I do something, what am I going to get in return? Most of you probably still work. I have the pleasure of being retired. But most of you still work. Many of you still work. Or you go to school, or you go to college, or wherever. And you go to work, and you expect a return. You expect a reward. You expect something back from what you put in. In a sense, you're serving the company, the organization that you're working for. For them to, for whatever reason they exist, you're there to serve their need, their purpose. Okay? Here, you're not. It's not about a reward, because your reward is where? In heaven. It's not about getting a reward now. It's about getting a reward in heaven. So we're called to serve. What I want to look at this morning is the context in which we serve. Because the Bible gives us images of what it means to be part of a church, and therefore, how we serve in that context. And in fact, Chris just said it earlier, one of the ones, army. He said, we're an army. And that's one of the images that God gives us. So here are some of the images of what it means to be part of a church into which we can begin to look at and see, well, how do I serve in that context? Firstly, the church is described as a body. And it says in 1 Corinthians, and it's again, we're going to share more of this a little bit later. I don't apologize for using lots of scripture because I think the scripture is what really speaks to us, not me. So when we read these words, when we listen and we watch this and read this scripture, read it and say, how does this apply to me? God, put this into my heart. Let this be something that actually influences me and affects me. Firstly, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. And it goes on to say, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. It's a very clear picture that as a church, if you are part of the church of Jesus Christ, you are part of the body. Whichever bit you might want to be. Have you ever done that? You've actually done it in a house group where you've been asked, so, if you're the body, which bit of the body would you be? Yeah? It's quite an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? You know, would I be a hand? Would I be a foot? Would I be an eye? Would I be a nose? Would I be a little red blood cell? What would I be? And that's quite an interesting thing to think about sometimes. You think, okay, what do I do? What's my gifting? I'm going to come back to that. And therefore, how do I fit? Where is my fit in the body? But needless to say, we are all in the body. So we fit somewhere. Okay? We fit somewhere. You fit somewhere. Whether you think you fit or not, you do. Maybe you haven't found where you fit yet, but you fit. Because you are part of a body. That's a very clear image. That's the first one. The second one is the church is described as a family. It says in Ephesians 2, so now you Gentiles, that's the non-Jewish people, okay, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Jesus himself calls us, goes on to say, sorry, in Hebrews, Jesus himself calls us brothers and sisters. So now Jesus and the ones who he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. So we're a family. We're a body. That's quite a clear picture. But we're also a family. And we know that family, again, there's a context to that, isn't there? There's a way we behave with one another. There's a way we are, there's an expectation on how we do things together as family. And that applies to the way we serve one another as well. The third picture is the one that Chris mentioned, an army. And if you read Ephesians 6, I'm not going to go through the whole thing now, it talks about putting on an armor, the armor of God. Well, to be honest, back in the day, the only reason you put armor on was if you were in the army. So there's a very clear picture of what it means that we are to be like a military soldier, standing firm to fight the enemy. And then Paul urges Timothy, he says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Am I that bad already? Later. So, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are an army. And again, if you think about an army, there's a particular context in the way we serve in the army. So these images, I don't think are just random. God doesn't give us random things in the Bible. If he's given us an image, it's because he wants us to understand the context that we are living in, the context we work in, the context we serve in, whether it's a body, whether it's a family, whether it's an army. Now, there are others as well. He talks about us being a bride. Now, the bride tells us and shows us just how much Jesus loves us. Okay? We're also called a flock because we need a shepherd. So all of these things have a particular purpose. They're there to help us understand the context in which we, as this thing called church, operate, how we function, how we live. But what I need, what we need to do is, sorry, come back a bit. One of the things that they show, all three of them, is that we cannot do church, we cannot walk the Christian walk on our own. Every single one of those images reflects the fact that we are to be together. We cannot do it on our own. Okay? There is not an army of one. There is not a family of one. There is not a body with just one part. There are many parts. And it says in Galatians 5:13, it says this, "You therefore have been set free." So anybody here this morning who knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, have been set free. Well, that's great. What does he go on to say? He says, "But do not use your freedom as an excuse to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another in love." Part of our calling is to serve one another in love. But the other thing I like about these images is that ultimately it determines who we serve. Because yes, it says serve one another, but ultimately we serve him. And when we serve him, one way of doing that is to serve each other. In a body, who's the head of the body in the church? Jesus Christ. He is the head. That's who we serve. In a family, who's the head of the family? The Father. Father God. I saw that. Pointed to his wife. I'd have done the same. The Father is the head of the family. Who's the head of the army? The general, the captain, the lord, whatever we call it. Jesus is the head of our army. They are ultimately, it is God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is who we serve. But one of the ways we serve them is by serving the people we are with. So there's the context, okay? So we serve because we are commanded to do so. All right? We all have to play our part. It says in 1 Peter there here, it says, God has given each of you a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? That's a gift. If you're here this morning and you heard that thing from Chris that said, this family needs help, are you a helper? How can you help? Do you have a gift of building a shed? Ray said, oh, you need to build a shed. I said, I'm good at putting them down. My gift is to destroy, not to build. But there are some of you here who are gifted to do that. Okay? I'm gifted to kill plants. Some are gifted to grow them. We all have gifts. Gifts of helping. But then it says, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. God will give you what you need to help you use those gifts. Then everything you do will what? Bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Ultimately, as we serve others, we glorify God. Now, I just want to get rid of a particular myth about church. When I look in the Bible, and I look under what it, church and everything else, I never find the word volunteer. Okay? Volunteer is not a word associated with being part of church. It is not a biblical word in the sense that it's used about the church, about you and about me. And whilst we talk about volunteers, the problem with using the word volunteers is that it makes you think you have a choice. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. No, I don't think I will. We don't have a choice. We are not volunteers. Okay? You don't volunteer to be in the body and out of the body when it suits you. Can you imagine that? You know, my arm's not going to play today. You know, it doesn't work like that. We are in it, therefore we have to be a part of it. Okay? But we do have an amazing team, and many churches do, including this one, of amazing volunteers, people who are unpaid, who serve in this church. And thank you to everyone that serves. Because without you, it wouldn't happen. Whether it's our children's workers, our youth workers, the media, the sound, the welcome on a Sunday, people who work in Revive Cafe, the people who do the worship, lead home groups, run alpha courses, provide meals, run support groups like the Kintsugi, can't even say it properly, Kintsugi Hope Group. People like that. Our trustees. Without these people, this church would not function because they are part of the body. They are part of the army. They are part of the family. And they are serving as such. So from me and from, you know, all of us as the leaders, thank you. Your serving is so, so appreciated. God's word tells us clearly that if I have been given a gift in a particular area, then it is my responsibility to use that gift for the benefit of others. Yeah? That's my part, is to use that gift to the benefit of others. And that gift could be all sorts of things. It could be, as I say, practical stuff. It could be, you know, I just want to pray for people. I can do that. There are so many ways in which we can serve the people around us. Cook meals. Yes, there's lots of stuff in church here on a Sunday, but it's not just about Sunday. It's about every day. How we serve one another. How we help one another. How we share our gifts together. So how does our serving make a difference? You know, I feel sometimes, and I'm being very honest here, sometimes people go, they won't miss me. Doesn't really matter. There's plenty of people who can do that. Well, the answer is, that's wrong. We will miss you. And yes, there are plenty of people, but maybe you're the only person that should be doing that at that point. So if you're sat there thinking, yeah, it's great, but I've got nothing to offer. You've got something to offer. God's given each of you a gift, if not more, probably more. You just got to find it. You've got to find it, lay hold of it, and say, God, how can I use it? What can I do to serve the people that you love, and therefore I should love? Serve one another in love. So how will my serving make a difference? I'd like to share a prophetic word that came back in January when we had our all-together church meeting. Now, with any prophetic word, it has to be weighed. It has to be prayed over, okay, and looked in the context of everything else that's going on. And so as a leadership, we've done that. We look at that. We keep coming back to it. And we, you know, we want to seek God to say, what does this mean for us? But this word we felt was a significant word. And I want to bring a fairly large part of this word to us this morning again to remind us of what I believe God is saying to us. Because I want us to stir our hearts. Say, well, why is he saying this? I'm going to read it to you. So it was on Sunday the 14th of January, Gordon Hazelton, and it's going to come up on here. I was going to read it through. And again, listen to what he said. The first picture I saw, two circles, and one circle was inside the other circle. There was a small circle and a really big circle around the outside. And this is what I felt what God was saying through that. I felt that the small circle represents the inner circle of those who are carrying the burden of the church. Carrying the church. And the outer circle is the rest of the body. And I felt the Spirit of God saying, it's time to expand the inner circle because I feel that God wants to build a big church here. I know that you're looking at planting at places as well. And I felt God say that those that are carrying the weight, there's not enough in the inner circle to carry the weight of what God's got for you. And it will break if the inner circle doesn't expand. I hope you can already see the connection, what I'm saying, sharing, and what God brought back in January. I feel this is not just a word for the leaders. I feel this is a word for all of you, because I felt God saying that it's only as every member plays its part in this body that you will see come about what you dreamed. It's not all on the weight of a few. In the outer circle, I saw some things written down, and these are giftings, but they're people that have these giftings. And I feel that in the outer circle, there are some evangelistic giftings God wants to raise up and be released among you. And you're not part of the inner circle, because often inner circle tends to be people who have the obvious leadership gifts. But I feel God wants to say it's time to bring the gifts of the Spirit and other ministry gifts into carrying the weight to the church. There are evangelistic gifts that God wants to raise up, those of you that have got your heart stirred for the lost. I believe the Spirit, God says, stir up that gift. I believe that there are mercy gifts out there as well. That's the other name that I'd written down, was mercy gifts. Caring for the poor, caring for the lost, that can come in different forms. I feel particularly that God wants to raise up amongst you prophetic giftings as well. I feel he wants to sharpen that up and bring those into the inner circle, the prophetic giftings and the giftings of the Spirit in general. I feel that there's a season for you to press into the releasing of the gifts of the Spirit across the whole congregation. Because a small number can't carry it all. It's time for the body in Hereford to start being a body and for all members to play a part. I just submit that to you. That's quite challenging. But I believe it's, you know, if we believe that word, then what God is saying is there's a challenge coming. There's weight that needs to be carried, but it can only be carried by all of us. If we want to see this church grow, and I believe if we want to see this church become more effective in ministry, if we want to see this church become more of more effective in what happens out there in the world, it is for all of us to play our part. I'm not saying you're not doing it already, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, there's probably more. Okay? There's probably more. I was going to read this whole bit from Corinthians, where it talks about the body having many parts. But I'm going to move on from that. So don't, in a sense, when we go, just sort of skip those when we come to those slides next. All right, guys? But I want to bring a picture, really, just to sort of when we carry weight, any of you do weightlifting as a matter of interest or do weights in training? Any of you do it? Yay, well, one. I've got one. Yeah, anyone? Yeah, two, three. That's a few of you. Okay. Yeah, some sort of weight. Don't be embarrassed. It's all right. I'm embarrassed. I can't. Hey, what, lifting the grandchildren? Yeah, it does me back in when I do that. I'm sort of trying to keep fit, and I go to the gym, and I do a lot of running. That's my thing. That's what I tend to find works for me. I did try weights, and it doesn't do me much good at all. But I do running, and whether it's running, whether it doesn't really matter what it is. What I'm trying to get at here, when we look at this picture of the body, is that without all the parts of the body working, whatever you're doing, you tend to find you get a problem. Yeah. Now, I have a problem with the back of my calves when I run. And years ago, both of them really got shot to pieces. And it's taken a long time to get back to a point where I can run again. But I still don't feel very confident when I run. So I'm on the running machine, and it's got these different levels and stuff, yeah? And at one point, you know, I can do this. It's a bit of a jog, yeah, that's great. And then suddenly it goes into a run. I go, oh, my God. But I'm trying to run so that I don't extend my legs too far. Or by doing it incorrectly, it causes other problems. I'm not using the right muscles. If I try and lift a weight, and I'm sure you've all tried to lift boxes and weights and stuff like that, if you don't use the right muscles and you don't do it the right way, what happens? You get injured. You get an injury. The thing about carrying weight, and this is where the word is all about, this whole thing about the body and weight. The thing about carrying weight, if you don't do it properly, something gets hurt. Something gets hurt. Now, I know there are churches around the UK and other places where there are leaders who are burnt out. There are people who are burnt out because they are carrying the weight. And that shouldn't be the case. We don't want to be a church where any of our leaders, home group leaders, ministry leaders, worship leaders, we don't want any of our leaders in any capacity to feel they are carrying so much that they are burnt out. Yeah? That they get stressed, they get strained. And that comes down to all of us, therefore, carrying and playing our part. Yeah? So when I go back to that whole picture at the beginning and say, well, what would you be? Would you be a little red blood cell? What would you be in the body? If you could write down the thing that you were in a body, what would it be? I think somebody actually did say once in our group, it could have even been Leslie, my wife, I'm a little red blood cell. Why? Because I just like going around people and giving them life. Well, what does a red blood cell carry? Oxygen. Life. I thought, ooh, that's nice, that. I didn't think of that one. I'm thinking about being a foot or, you know, carrying the gospel or whatever, I don't know. The thing about every single, you don't realize until you find something's injured just how much you miss it. You know, a toe. There's a family member who's had to have one of their toes amputated recently. What does that affect? Balance? Ability to walk? One little toe. Everything has an impact. Every part of the body. I don't care what bit of the body you think you might be.
Without you, something won't work. Something won't happen, or something will get strained. Something will get hurt. When I want to lift something heavy, I was going to get something heavy and put it in the middle of the stage and get some people to come and buff foot now. But if you're trying to lift something heavy, there is so much going on in your body, and I'm not into all of this stuff, but you know, your brain's got to start to think about, I've got to lift something heavy. So what does it do? It starts to impact on your nervous system. It starts to create drugs in your system to enable, what are the drugs that it uses? Adrenaline, things like that. Yeah, thank you. See, I haven't a clue. Okay, adrenaline. Okay, the adrenal gland gets working, all right? You need eyesight so you can see what you're doing. You need your ears for your balance. You need to have your feet and your toes working together. You need to have your thighs and your legs, and you need to have your back muscles. Everything pretty much has to be working. Your blood, your heart starts pumping faster. Your tendons start to tense. Everything has to work together in order to carry the weight. And if one of those things doesn't happen, eventually it leads to a problem. I believe as a church, God has given us this word because he wants us to carry more than we carry now. Anyone agree? Or we're not sure? I don't think he gives it just to say, just chuck it in the bin. If he said that to us, and we believe that's the word of God for us as a church, then we've got to lay hold of it as a church. Serving is part of that. Serving one another, helping one another, carrying one another, building up one another in love enables us together to carry more weight. And that's what this is all about, carrying weight. Now, the thing about serving and the thing about gifts is that sometimes we think, what's my spiritual gift? Oh, I haven't got one. We've all got spiritual gifts. Like I said, they could be practical. Helping is a spiritual gift. The gift of serving is actually a spiritual gift. So there's always something we can do if we are prepared to. And it doesn't have to be big. If an email goes out that says, hey church, we're going to have a bring and share. Bring plenty of food for you and for other people. Oh, and by the way, we could do with some people to help lay it out and to clear up at the end. Please let us know if you'd like to help with that. Nope. No one's replied. We'll send it out again. Oh, nope, no one's replied. Only a small thing. Plenty of people to help, but nobody does. Why? Maybe because we all think someone else is going to do it. But wouldn't it be great if we had so many people saying, I'd help, yes, put me down, I'll do it. And we said, thank you, we've got too many people now. Wouldn't that be a better way? It's only a little thing. Makes a big difference. Now, I'm all for servant leadership. I hope you know that. I hope you know my heart as a leader in this church, that I want to serve first and lead second. And I've always felt, you know, my call here is to serve this church in whatever capacity I can. But when I see the leaders of this church be the last ones out at a bring and share on a Sunday because they're hoovering the floor. Whilst I understand that's great, and we should, and you know, that's no reason why we shouldn't be.
because we're here to serve as much as anyone else, in fact, probably more so, I do think, okay, where's everyone else? It could be something as simple as going to the toilet and finding there's no loo roll. Oh! I'll go to the next one. No. Find the loo roll and put it in. It isn't difficult. It's still serving. But it means someone else doesn't have to go and do it instead. If you think there's something needs doing, maybe you're the person that needs to do it. That's what serving is all about. It's having a heart of serving. A heart attitude that says, hey, I'm here. I'll do what I can. And I know many of you do. And again, it's not a slap on the wrist. I know many of you do. And as I say, you know, it's fantastic. This church is a great church. There's lots going on. There's lots of stuff happening. But I just sense we have to go up the next level. Yeah? Because God's got more. God's got more. Amen? Amen. So, to finish off, Jesus said this in John 13. Can we go to John 13? Brilliant, thanks. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see, there's one thing about being church, is that if we don't stand out in the way we are with each other, in the way we serve one another, in the way we behave with one another, then we are no better than the world. We are no different to the world, and the world will see no difference in us. That's not what we're called to be. We're called to show the world what it means to live life as it should have been from the beginning of Adam and Eve. Before sin came in, Adam and Eve had a perfect relationship with God. He is saying, this is what it should look like. I just want to get back to that. What can we do? And that's what it's all about. So we want to show love, our love to one another, so the world can see the love of God through us. So here's the question, right back from the beginning, or the answer really. How many muscles does it take us to smile? I'm gonna give you a bit of a clue. Well, not aware. There are around about 43 muscles in the face. So anyone want to give us a figure? Five. 36. 43. Any others? One. Oh, stop it, you. I got the answer here. Yeah, now you have. Okay, well, the answer is 26. Or thereabouts. Now, why did I put that up there? I put that up there for one simple reason. It's because if any of those muscles don't work, you won't smile. I want to be a church where every muscle, every part works so that the world can see our smile. I want the world to see our smile. And to see our smile, every person has to play their part. Amen? Amen. Just pray. Just shut your eyes. I just want to just respond. I just so believe that God has got so much for us, guys. He's got more he wants to pour in, more he wants to do, but in a sense, we had to put our hands out and go, yeah, come on, I'm going to carry more weight. Can
Can I ask you to stand, please? I invite you to stand. And invite you to put your hands out. Because sometimes, you know, it's only as we put our hands out that God places things in them. It's only as we put our hands up the weight, it'll carry, that we carry more weight. And if that's you, if you think, yeah, do you know what? Yeah, I want to carry more. I want to do more. I want to serve more. Lord, help me to do that. God will give us the strength. God will give us everything we need to enable us to fulfill our calling. He doesn't give us a gift that we can't use. Father, I thank you so much that you want to use this church, that you want to grow this church, that you've got amazing plans, amazing promises for this church, as well as every other church. But Lord, we're talking about here. Lord, we want to be those that carry everything you give us to carry, not as a heavy burden. I thank you, your burdens are light. But Lord, we want to carry what we are called to carry, so that together as a church, we can carry the weight of what you have for us in this coming season. Help us to love one another by serving one another. Help us to meet a need when we see a need. Father, thank you so much that you saw a need and you sent Jesus. That you were the one that reacted to our sin. That you are the one that tore the veil in two. We could come right into your presence. And so, Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning that really doesn't yet know you, has that relationship with you, doesn't feel part of the body, doesn't feel called to be in the army of Jesus Christ, isn't yet feeling that they're in the family. Father, I really pray this morning that they will know that you are calling them to that right now. That they can come through that door into your throne room because of your mercy and grace. And if that's you, if you're thinking, yeah, this morning, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus as Lord of my life. I want to have this relationship with God. Then speak to me or speak to the person you were with, and we'll pray with you. But for all of us, Lord, transform us even more as we walk out of here. Let your word that we've heard this morning dwell in us richly. Let it cause us to be changed, to become more like you, Jesus, who came to serve the world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Bless you. I think Cherith is. Yeah. Okay. So we'll leave it there, guys. Have a great week. Okay. If anybody can respond to that request for Sam, then obviously perhaps have a chat with Chris or get in contact with her direct. But have a great week, guys. You are lovely. You are wonderful. You are a blessing. God bless you. Amen.